ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अन्यथा कर्म पूर्वणो मनारूढो निबाध्यते गुण प्रवाह पतित नष्ट प्रज्ञ व्रजति अतः अन्यथा कर्म कुर्वन्नो मानरूढो निबाध्यते गुण प्रवाह पतित नष्ट प्रज्ञो व्रजत्यतः अन्यथा कर्म कुर्वन्नो मनोरूढो निबाध्यते गुण प्रवाह पतित नष्ट प्रज्ञो व्रजति अन्यथा कर्म कुर्वन्नो मानरूढो निबाध्यते गुण प्रवाह पतित नष्ट प्रज्ञो व्रजति अन्यथा कर्म कुर्वन्नो मानरूढो निबाध्यते गुणप्रवाह पतित नष्ट प्रज्ञो व्रजत्यतः अन्यरूढो निबाध्यते गुणप्रवाह पतित नष्ट प्रज्ञो कर्म कुर्वन्नो मानरूढो निबाध्यते गुणप्रवाह पतित नष्ट प्रज्ञो व्रजत्यतः अन्यथा कर्म कुर्वन्नो मानरूढो निबाध्यते गुणप्रवाह पतित नष्ट प्रज्ञो व्रजत्यतः अन्यथा अदरवाइज कर्म फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज पूर्वमः while acting mana arudha being influenced by false prestige nibhajyate one becomes entangled guna pravaha by the influence of material qualities patita fallen nashta pragya bereft of all intelligence Brajati, thus he goes, utter, down. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, the Lord Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Otherwise, the person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. Thus he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of his real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus he goes up and down from a mighty microbe in stool to a high position in the Brahmaloka planet. Please repeat. Otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. Thus he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of his real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. And thus he goes up and down from a microbe in stool to a high position in the Brahmaloka planet. The long purple. Maybe we'll read it bit by bit. There are many important words in this verse. The first is anjata, otherwise, which indicate that one who does not care for the Vedic rules and regulations. The rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas are called Shastra Vidhi. Bhagavad Gita clearly states that one who does not accept the Shastra Vidhi or rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedic literatures, who acts whimsically or puffed up with false pride, never attains perfection in this life, nor does he attain happiness or liberation from material condition. Yashasa vitum utshrija varatate karmakarakaha na siddhim na na sa vidim avapnoti na sukam na param katim. He who disregards scriptural injunction and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection or happiness nor the supreme destination. So here in the previous verse, Narad Muni is speaking to King Prachinna Parishad about the necessity of following Vedic scriptures and accepting the authority of the Vedas. And then you become, can actually become free from entanglement in the material world. So now he's talking about another class. Otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down to false prestige. So, Prabhupada said this word otherwise indicates one who does not care for the Vedic rules and regulations. So, this is practically what's going on in this world. You don't care for the rules and regulations of the or the standard of knowledge set in the Vedas. So this is your business. You're simply transmigrating in a cycle of birth and death up to Brahmaloka, down to a microbe in the stool. So this is the business of the anyata, those who don't accept the standard of knowledge but simply accept their own standard. And they, it appears that they're quite happy, these mental speculators. I'm okay, what I'm doing, what I think, it's okay. And when they're a microbe sucking stool, they're thinking what I'm doing is okay. They'll be the same at wherever they are, what I'm doing is okay. So this is the plight of the living entity in the material world, unless he accepts the authority of the Vedas, because this is not solving the problem of life. life is meant for solving the problems of life. And so, as we were hearing yesterday, the Vedas are the manual for the universe. When Krishna creates the universe, he creates a manual, a working manual, how to live in the material world. That is the Vedas. So then you, at least you have some principles to go. So it's, Prabhupada said that the, like the Varnashram system is there in Vedic, in Manu Samhita, and it's a built-in mind and sense control process. Krishna's created these. Chatur Vanamayas Krishnam Guna Kama Vigasha. I've created these divisions in society. And by following these divisions, sticking to these divisions, then one automatically makes progress. It's a built-in sense and mind control, because there are so many restrictions in the Vedas that you have to obey, and there are authorities you have to obey. So when you follow the authority of the Vedas, automatically your mind and senses will come under control. So like this, then there's a gradual progression for the living entity who enters the universe and is traversing around. If he follows the Vedic system, then he's gradually elevated by this process that Krishna so intelligently and kindly designed within a process, whether you're living socially or whether you live in an ashram, just simply by doing your duties in that according to the authority of the Vedas, then you're making advancement. You're becoming more and more purified, making more and more advancement to go back to Godhead. Takes a long time. Of course, if you meet a devotee of Krishna, very rapidly you can speed the whole process up. In fact, you can leap over practically the whole process. Krishna's designed to be understood through the Vedas, it's music. And if you come to that point, Krishna consciousness, then you leap over all the smaller injunctions, all the smaller rules and regulations, all the do's and do nots, because you know the purpose behind the Vedas. This is real religion. Real religion means to know Krishna, to serve Krishna, to love Krishna. That's all the Vedas are speaking about indeed. The essence of the Vedas, that is what it's telling us. Not the so-called, what we call religions. So this is the way of progressive life. Aryan is called Aryan, one who takes a path of progression. And we see that we have so many progress. We are following progressions in the Krishna consciousness process. You can immediately come to Krishna if you are fortunate. You can surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, there is other system. We have to follow the process of sadhana bhakti, next best. And then there are other systems. One ashram is about 4 or 5 down. But anyway, you can immediately become Krishna. Otherwise, you see that even in our process of sadhana, there is progression. And Krishna's teaching in the Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Sandhi Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. So they're all progressions as your consciousness becomes more pure, as your mind becomes more pure. Then you can progress and progress in all different kinds of levels. Just like we have Ado, Shraddha, Sarusanga, Vachana Kriya, or Anatta Nivritti, all the way up to Prema, Ruchi, right up to Prema. So it's a gradual process of purification, beginning with Shraddha. And as you become more purified, then you can go up to the next level, then the next level, then the next level. We have Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So in the spiritual search, you will understand Brahman, the effulgence from Krishna's toenails. And you can understand the Paramatma feature. Then you can understand Bhagavan feature. Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana. Beginning we establish a relationship with Krishna, that's purifying. When we're more pure, we can approach Govinda for service. When we're more pure, we can reach the ultimate goal of Gopinath. So there are all different kinds of progressions. a cleansing process. Just like in the puja, we follow the same system in the deity worship. From morning when you wake up, you clean your body, you put clean cloth on, you make sure everything's clean, it hasn't touched anything. You clean all the paraphernalia for worshipping the deities, you clean the deity floor and area, you establish all the paraphernalia, clean paraphernalia, then you purify it further with different mantras and prakshana, then you spiritualize it with different mantras and things like that. Then you do kind of a yoga, a kind of a meditate dhyanam, meditating on Guru at the lotus feet of Panchatattva and Navadvipa. It's all more and more purification. Then you do actually a manasa puja. The dhyanam is passive and the puja, manasa puja is active. So it's all more and more purification. So then the consciousness should be pure the time you've done all these things, right? Bhuta shuddhi. I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but my establishing my real identity, Gopi Pariyo, Kamala, Das, 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 and Das. And so by the time all that's finished, then there is the deity who is the transcendental personality we know. So we don't see it's a lump of grass or a piece of wood or a stone statue. So then this whole process of sadhana, of purification, then your consciousness is pure, you're convinced all the other things are pure because you cleaned them yourself, you checked it, as best you could. Then now you can approach with a pure consciousness and you can actually touch the deity, bring the deity down and serve the deity. So, like that, it's all a progression. But the thing is, we shouldn't get stuck somewhere in the progression. If you get stuck, then you're cool. Wherever you're stuck, that's your identity. If you get stuck, you're just absorbed in karmakanda activities. No, there's nothing beyond this for me. That I'm satisfied with this, and you call it a kami, karmakanda. If you're into gyan and you get stuck on just knowledge and speculation about the absolute truth, and I'm quite satisfied, then you're known as a gyani. You're stuck on one point. If you're a yogi and you're attached to the principles of yoga to get siddhis and things like that, and you stay, then you're known as a yogi. So we have to rise above that and come to the platform of bhakta, that is the real constitutional position. So just like here with this story, Narad Muni is preaching to King Prachini Barishad. He's picking him up, he's elevating him. Same Narad Muni was also helping Vyasadeva, who had the same problem. He wasn't satisfied. And Narad Muni told him, you've overemphasized the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. That's how the people like that. Naturally, by nature, everyone's inclined to sense gratification. That is the nature of this material world. So the living entities are inclined to sense gratification. Now you've overemphasized this Karmakanda section, which is dealing with material happiness, how to get material happiness in a religious way. And now they become content on that. And they're stuck. You've got them all stuck on Karmakanda. And the thing is that they're using all this system that you've given them as a religion. We're just talking about eating meat, etc., drinking wine and illicit sex, intoxications. So these are all allowed under rule and regulation, not unrestrictedly. So it's a restriction. You can, this certain time, this certain situation, you can indulge in these activities. And so now Narada Muni is chastising Vyasadeva. You've overemphasized on this point, not so much on the Upanishads which deal with liberation or the parts that deal with bhakti, pure bhakti. So they like it. No, it's our religion. Look, it says we can eat meat. Our religion says we can have sex. Our religion says we can take wine. They're using excuses. These are not actually religious principles. These are actually restrictions. So they're taking all the restrictions and they make it into religion. So it's a good religion, but it's not a religion. It's simply restrictions. If you don't do it, but if you have to do it like this. Okay, don't eat meat, but if you have to do it, do it. Don't take intoxicants, but if you have to do it, you do it like this. So they think, oh yes, great. Well, look how Vedic Shastra says we can do it. So this is our religion. So they're stuck. They didn't move on. So Vedavyas was chastised by Narada. You got to help people move on. So what did he do? He wrote the Bhagavatam. He immediately brought people to the Bhagavatam. There, that was what his guru's instruction there. You move on, and human life is meant for progression, so help everybody progress without being caught up in wherever situation they're in. So, the idea we have to hear the purport of the Vedas through the Acharyas, simply understanding the Vedas is not sufficient. We have to hear from the devotees of the Lord. They can explain that. Narada Muni is our ideal preacher. He's explaining now the Parishad. He explained to the Vyasadeva. He's always explaining. So this is how we understand the Vedas and the rules and regulations of the Vedas. I was reading something the other day from... this is Hayagriva Prabhu. And he was helping Prabhupada edit and translate Bhagavad Gita as it is. And so Prabhupada said to him, he said, just copy the verses from some other Gita. So many translations. He said, just copy the verses from other Gita. And Hari Griva said, he just tells me like that. Takes from some other translation. And Hari Griva was thinking, wow, you know, it's got to be Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Prabhupada's saying, just take from any other translation. So Prabhupada says, he just went like that, as if it was... He said, these verses are not very important. Bhagavad Gita. He said, there are so many translations, that they're more or less accurate, and the Sanskrit is always there. But it's my purports. It's my purports that are important. That's what's important. So you concentrate on the purports. There are so many nonsense purports by Gandhi, Dr. Radhakrishnan, Nikhilananda, Swami. They've all got different purports, he said, but they're all nonsense purports. So, but you concentrate on my purports. He said, what is lacking are these Vaishnava purports. These purports that are in the preaching line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what's lacking in English. And that's also what's lacking in the whole world. So this is actually how we understand the Vedas, through the explanation of the Acharyas. Otherwise, we get stuck. If there's no proper explanation, you simply get stuck somewhere. So this is the importance of, you know, Sadhu Sangha, meetings of the realized Acharyas who can actually tell you the import of the Vedas. Otherwise, how will we ever know? Even if it appears to be direct. Prabhupada said, maybe a Guru Maharaj's Vyas Puja homework offering. Anyway, he said about Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadirajir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanta Mahabhakya. Essence is there. Everybody knows that when they come to ISKCON, right? Ishvara Parama Krishna, the Supreme Controller is Krishna. He's got Satchitananda, his eternal form of blissful knowledge. He has a form of but Prabhupada said, who would have actually known the meaning of that if you hadn't actually explained it? It's quite right there in Brahma Samhita and other Vedic literatures. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadirajir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. But who would have understood? Here is Krishna as a person. The verse is saying it's a person. But who would really understand it's a person? They would interpret, oh, but Krishna means dark. Krishna means dark means you don't know, so he's unknowable. Whatever their perception is, Ishvara, yeah, he's the controller of everything. The supreme, yeah, Krishna, that's the supreme. It means the supreme Brahman. All these words mean Brahman. That's it. So much speculation is going on. So even the Vedic literatures are direct and tell you, yes, Krishna is the person, Satchitananda Vigraha, and he is the supreme. Still, we can't understand. According to our mentality, we will try to understand. He said, who would have understood, but you come and directly told us, Krishna, the supreme person, and God is the person, he is the supreme. You made us understand. And Prabhupada, the same thing, practically on every page of his books. Krishna is the supreme person of God. He said, no, nobody can ever misunderstand it. I've made it so obvious, I put it on every page of my books. Krishna is the supreme personality of God. If you read my books, you're never going to doubt, because I put it on every page. So, this is the situation. We have to hear from the Acharyas. There's a conversation with that Professor Sathers from Iowa State University. And he comes and sees Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvatakura. He's really skeptical. He's a Christian. And he's got all these same old questions and idols and things. And what about these 10 incarnations, you know? And actually, God can actually become a pig. He can incarnate. Isn't that like beyond morality? He's calling God can become a pig in form of Varaha Dev, different animals. And Bhaktisiddhanta, he explains so nicely. He said, this is also a progression, he says. Darwin has the same theory. Darwin stole the theory from Padma Purana. He starts with aquatic life, and then like mammal life, then animal life, or plant life, animal life, in between animal and human, Lord Nrsingadev, missing link. Then after that is undeveloped man, Vamanadev, dwarf. Then after that is savage man, Parasuram, kill my mother, kill your mother, you want to kill everybody, savage. Then perfect man, Ramchandra. So he said it's a progress. Anyway, this professor was really, you know, he's really blown out and he's really smashed all of his arguments. He said, I really never knew there was so much in Vaishnava philosophy, so deep, it can go so high. Please tell me more. Bhaktisiddhanta said, you want to know more? There is a process. Put your head at the feet of the Guru. Accept the Guru for initiation into Guru Parampara. This is how you're going to understand, not simply by hearing. You've got to put yourself in the position of humility and accept these teachings as they're coming in Parampara. Otherwise you will never understand. So immediately, you just cut him off. Anyway, I don't know what happened to the guy. So this is the process. We have to accept knowledge as it's coming, especially from through the Parampara. We have four sampradayas, bona fide sampradayas at the Padma Purana. Says these are bona fide sampradayas, Sri Sampradaya, Kumar Sampradaya, Vritta Sampradaya, and Brahma Sampradaya. These are direct connections with the spiritual world. Outside of these, better you don't think. They're very, very unlikely that they have a direct connection. But these are direct connections, so therefore it's advising to take initiation in these sampradayas because you have a direct connection. And this is the process. We have become connected by the descending process. These people who don't care for the Vedas we're talking about now, they're the ascending process. By my own knowledge I'll reach, I'll find, by my own prowess, by my own intelligence, by my own... Pantastu koti bhakshara sampragamya vayurtapi manaso. You may go on by my endeavor, in my mind I'll find it. You may go on for billions and millions of years at the speed of mind. Still you won't approach the effulgence of the toenails of Lord Krishna. By your own, it's not possible. So therefore we have to accept someone coming in parampara, and we have to accept humble state of mind, Krishna says. Humble state of mind, submissive. Approach a self-realized person. He can inform you. And this is the process. And unless they follow this process, they will never understand all of that. This verse, who is it actually talking about? It's talking about practically everyone in the world. Otherwise, persons who act whimsically fall down to false prestige. They become involved in the laws of nature. They indicates that they do not care for Vedic rules and regulations. So who is that? That is everyone practically in the world today. Everyone. Nobody cares for these rules and regulations. So you see the state of affairs, and it's the fact that they're going to take birth in microbes in stool. And then up and down and up and down. They're not solving the real problem of life. But they're all passing in the name of scholars, but they will not accept the process that's been given by Krishna and the Acharyas. So, this is what ISKCON is all about. This is what Prabhupada is all about. Here's the truth. At least give them an opportunity to make a choice. This is Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said. Now they don't have a choice. They got so many universities, so many books. But there's nothing Krishna conscious said. So Prabhupada said, what we are presenting is Krishna. At least give them a chance to choose it. Let them know what's available. Not that there's nothing. God is nothing, God is their goal. And just give material knowledge, which is dealing with the eight elements and nothing else. As big a scientist as they may be, the subject matter is earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence. Little bit mind, actually, psychology. Intelligence, practically, not what to speak of. False ego or soul. No, it's just a different combination of these eight elements. No matter how great a scientist is, he's simply a manipulation of eight elements. That's all. But I've summarized the whole of the scientific field. Now, past and future. It's just a combination of earth, water, fire, air, and mind. That's all. That's what they're dealing with. Their inventions, it's just a combination of these five things. Prabhupada said, one who knows this philosophical aspect of life is wise. He can easily transcend. When you know what they're dealing with, you don't have to get your PhD. you know the result of the scientific research and study. Just going to play around with a combination of these eight elements, nothing more. So, there's a nice verse by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, which Prabhupada always often quotes, and Bhaktisiddhanta always quotes. You go to a person, dear sir, you are so knowledgeable, you are so educated, you are so aristocratic, you are so magnanimous, you are such a nice person. Flatten him like it. Yes, yes, of course, I know that. Well, what do you want? Sir, just forget everything you know. We all were requesting, just forget everything, you know. And take shelter of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's all we're asking. So this is our business. Go and flatter everyone. It's, yes, what do you want? Just take shelter of lotus feet at Rangamaha. Otherwise, there's no hope. No hope for these people. So, in the knowledge, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives 20 examples of knowledge, 20 points of knowledge. And he begins with humility. Humility. Doesn't seem like real knowledge, humility. But it's on the top of the list before all the other 20. Before the other 19 is humility. And the reason why it's on the top is because if you don't have humility and submission when you approach the teacher, you're not going to understand anything. You won't understand. But Krishna says, approach a person with submission, inquiring spirit with submission. So unless you're humble, you're not going to get knowledge. It's not going to flow. But all these speculators, they're not humble, they're not accepting any authority. It's a saying in the West, I bow down to no man. It's a good saying, I used to like that actually. I bow down to no man. I mean, in a church, we would at least you get down on your knees, something like that. But put your head on the floor. I want to speak of Ashtanda Dandabhat Pranam. That's a little bit too. Of course, they do it. I saw a picture in the St. Peter's, and they were making new initiates, and they all did a big role and did Ashtanda Dandabhat Pranam. They were being initiated, so at least at that time they did Ashtanga Dandavat Pranam at the time of initiation. But otherwise, who actually does that? Whoever bows down. I used to bow down to the gods in the temple. I could accept that. I didn't know who they were, but at least they were gods. But to an ordinary man, why I should bow down? I bow down to no man. The first person I bowed down, man I bowed down to was a yogi in Hrishikesh. And the only reason I bowed down was my friend bowed down. We went to see him and he bowed down. And I'm like, oh, I guess this is what you've got to do. And I bowed down to a man. I never did that before. I must have been 26 years old. I never bowed down to a man before. And Yogi was doing manavrat. He wasn't speaking. A room full of people. He was sitting. He wasn't speaking, but he was writing. Prabhupada's quote saying, what use is it? They're writing letters and messages. You might as well speak. You're doing a manavrat. You spend the whole day writing. Writing letters, answering questions. What's the use? You might as well speak. And I think the second time I bowed down to a man was another Baba, but this time I did it voluntary. I voluntarily bowed down and I felt completely ecstatic because I just met the devotees and anyway I met this sadhu. And he was it's in Orisha, a place named Chandigarh, near Cuttack somewhere. I just met the devotees, Puri, and I was going down, they said, if you're going through Calcutta, you've got a temple there, you can have a look in there. So I was on my way to the temple. And I was talking to someone on the train. I used to speak about Bhagavad Gita and things, because I had Bhagavad Gita. Meeting sadhus and things like that. So he said, oh, there's a sadhu. You get off the next stop, there's a sadhu lives there. Nice sadhu. I said, oh, really? So I jumped off the train. I went to see him. And he was ash baba, he was all covered in ashes, just a coping. And he had a little temple that was there. He had some followers there, I guess they built it for him, but it was beautiful. It was all white tiles with Ram, the name of Ram written on the tiles. It was really spick and span, and looking new as well, isn't it? And then I stayed there the day anyway. In the evening time, they had an aarti. And these other people, they pushed me, they said, go and see the aarti. I didn't know. I just started walking straight into the temple. And then the Baba began his aarti. He just had a big pot of frankincense, and it was a big bell. And I just walked, I nearly banged into him, and then he just suddenly came up. Big belly was ringing, and it was, and all the smoke was billowing out, and he was offering, and he was covered in ashes, and he had his coping on, and it was such a contrast, you know, white sparkling tiles and the drums, and it was, old Sadhu looked like he was come out of the from some ancient place, and then you know how the Hindus, they play a gong in their arctic, that's all it is. Anyway, there were these gongs, they were all bong, 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 ram, 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 ram. It was just ram, 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 it was, my hands were standing on it. And anyway, the next day I left, and I paid my obeisances. This is the second time I paid my obeisances to a man. But I did it voluntary, and I fell down, and I touched his feet. And he said, oh, so you had a nice experience here? And then I became all emotional, I guess because I lost all my, got a lot of my ego and pride by bowing down to him. But also because of the, I started crying actually, and I heard the name of, the holy name of Rami, I heard the name of God, and I was crying. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. But, and the next day I was in Niskan temple. Never left. And giving us Dandabats, how many times got that? For pujaris, every time you go in and out, you have to give these Dandabats thousands and thousands and thousands. But actually, up until that time, I never paid the basis. I bowed down to no man. It's such a... It's the philosophy of the material world, because the living entities come here to enjoy the material world. He wants to be the Lord, the controller. So it's actually the philosophy of the material world. I bow down to no man. Everyone should bow down to me, of course, but I bow down to no man. This is the... the moment that you meet devotees, so much ahankar is going on, so much false ego. You're able to do that before I was never to do it. Just by a little association with you. Yasasri bidimus dija varatati karma karata nasa chidimapnuti nasutam napram katim. Due disregards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims. Attains neither perfection nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. Thus one who is deliberately transgressing the rules and regulations of the Shastra is simply of involving himself more and more in material existence in the three modes of material nature. Prabhupada said deliberately transgressing the rules and regulations. Deliberate. If you know and you deliberately transgress, it's very bad. If you don't know, you transgress, it's called sin. If you know and you transgress, it's called aparad. Bhakti Sri Maharaj gives this example of India. He said when the I think it was Bhakti Chimaj. Anyway, in the West, they seem quite prosperous. And in India, they're not so prosperous, yet they're so pious people. You know, prosperity comes from piety. how is it that Western countries, they're more pious? And he said that in the West, they're more prosperous and they're so much more sinful. Very sinful. They're killing cows, they do all kinds of nonsense things. But they seem to be prosperous. He said, this is pup. This is sinful life. He said, but when Indians, they have the philosophy, they know the laws of God, they have the shastra. When they break the laws, it's aparad. And the reaction is much, much worse. That's why they're suffering, he said. At least financially and spiritually, of course, they're losing their culture. But this is the reason. They're making aparad. It's not just sin, it's aparad. They know the laws of God. And Prabhupada said, the Indians, at the time of death, the Indians who claim to be atheistic, who follow the West, at the time of death, he said, they're shaking in their boots because they know. they know they've had the education, but they've become atheistic or not. But they know that what is it, that the religion is there. They know that Yamaraj is going to come. And he said, they're shaking in their boots. They may profess to be atheistic, but they'll be shaking in their boots. So be careful, the Indian bodied or educated devotees. Yamaraj will come to you in heavy punishment or aparad. Deliberately trained. Prabhupada also gets on the Christian's case. Transgressing the laws of God. Thou shalt not kill. He said not only they're killing wholesale, but then when Prabhupada points it out, why you are killing animals, when one of your first commandment, thou shalt not kill, then they change their biblical shloka to thou shalt not murder. So killing animals is not murder, it's not killing actually. Thou shalt not murder. Murder means human being. We don't say you murder an animal, you kill an animal. So they change willingly. Huh? They deliberately transgressing, changing the law, their own laws. Prabhupada was very angry with these people. Human society should therefore follow Vedic principles of life which are summarized in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, immaterial existence will continue. Foolish persons do not know that the soul is passing through 8,400,000 species of life by the gradual process of evolution. When one comes to the human form of life, he is supposed to follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that living entity since time immemorial is suffering the threefold miseries of material nature due to his demonic attitude, which is his spirit of revolt against the Supreme Personality of God. Yeah. This is the test. If you have a demonic attitude, or you can test the world. What is their attitude? Demonic attitude, which is his spirit of revolt against the Supreme Personality of God. If you will still want to enjoy something in this material world, you're revolting against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is the Supreme Enjoyer, the Supreme Control. If you want to enjoy separately, you are revolting against his injunctions, demoniac mentality. Situation of the whole world. Everybody has this demonic mentality. Everybody wants to be the enjoyer. The spirit of revolt against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mama Ivam Mamsho Jivaloki Jivabhuta Sanatana Manaha Shasindriyani Prakriti Ishtani Kashati. The living entities in this conditional world are my eternal, fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Every living entity is part and parcel of God. There is no reason for living entities being put into the material threefold miserable conditions of material existence, but he voluntarily accepts material existence on the false pretext of becoming an enjoyer. Voluntary, very important word. We are choosing to become the enjoyer. Voluntary. Nobody's forcing us to do it. Maya is presenting herself before us at every moment in her beautiful different varieties of forms, attractive forms. But she's not forcing us. She's simply presenting these forms, objects of sense. We are the ones who voluntarily embrace Maya. It's not Maya that Maya is so strong. She's simply presenting. We are embracing. Voluntary. Important word. We hear because we voluntarily chose to be independent from Krishna. Voluntary choice. We weren't forced here. To go back, voluntary also. You have to make that decision. You want to go back. Give up all this enjoying imitation business. To save him from his horrible condition, the Lord has given the Vedic literatures in his incarnation of Vyasadeva. Who would know if we didn't hear these from Acharya? You know, what's going on in this material world? Now we'll find out. We're envious of Krishna, demoniac. This is the first original sin, Prabhupada. The whole of the Christian field, they often deal with this subject, the theologians and etc. Christians. So what is that original sin? It's like the old Adam and Eve thing. But they're always, they haven't come to the proper conclusion. Prabhupada gives it in one sentence. You're envious of Krishna. You're envious of God. That's original sin. And because of that, you're in the material world and involved in millions and millions of other sinful activities. That was the original sin that brought you here, in the existence of God. How would we know that? If the acharyas don't tell us. It is therefore said, Krishna Puri se jivanadi bahira mukha ativa maitari deha samsara dukha. By forgetting Krishna, the living entity has become materialistic since time immemorial. And therefore the illusory energy of Krishna is giving him different types of miseries in material existence. Maya mukha jivera nahi shvata Krishna jnana jivera pipa koila Krishna Veda Purana. When a living entity is enchanted by the external energy, he cannot revive his original Krishna consciousness independently. Must take help from a sadhu. Must. Due to such circumstances, Krishna has given him Vedic literatures, such as the 4 Vedas and 18 Puranas. Every human being should therefore take advantage of the Vedic instruction. Otherwise, one will be bound by his whimsical activities and will be without any guide. Take to studying the Vedas, but under the guidance of the Acharya. The word Manorudha is also significant in this verse. Under the pretext of becoming great philosophers, scientists, men throughout the whole world are working on the mental platform. Such men are generally non-devotees, not caring for the instructions given by the Lord to the first living creature, Lord Brahma. The Srimad Bhagavatam therefore says, Haro abhaktasya tuto mahaguna manoratina shaki devato vahi. Manorat means the chariot of the mind. A person who is a non-devotee has no good qualification because he acts on the mental platform. One who acts on the mental platform has to change his standard of knowledge periodically. One who acts on the mental platform has to change his standard of knowledge periodically. This is what we see is going on in the university, the scientific field. They periodically have to change their standard of knowledge because after a few years it's outdated. Get the new one. Look how advanced we're becoming. We've outdated the old knowledge. Look how advanced, how great we are. See the steps we are taking. But nobody's asking, well, I got my PhD on the last thing which you've just thrown out the window, which is useless. Nobody's questioning. They're all, look how advanced we're becoming. We're progressing. But during that time, yeah, I got my PhD on something which you're calling bogus now. The carbon-14 dating process. It was a process in the 50s or something like that. They had this How you can tell how these bones, you dig up some bones, yeah, these Prontosaurus man or Trinosaurus man, whatever it was, in 10 million years ago or something like that, some piece of pottery or something. So this was that they could tell how old it was by this process called carbon-14. A few years later, they got another process that outdated that. That's old-fashioned. Now we got really, really accurate ones. See how advanced we're becoming. But nobody's saying, well, you know, we spent our whole life studying carbon-14 and we got our PhD on it. It's all useless knowledge. And you're saying we're making advance. So, and then that new advancement after a few years, we got something greater. Okay, that's out the window. We got something greater. So they always have to change the standard of knowledge. It's always changing every few years. Veda never changes. It's fixed. It's a permanent standard. Yeah, otherwise you have to change your standard of knowledge periodically. We consequently see that one philosopher may disagree with another philosopher, and one scientist may put forward theories contradicting the theory of another scientist. All of this is due to their working on the mental platform without a standard of knowledge. In the Vedic instructions, however, the standard of knowledge is accepted, even though it may sometimes appear that the statements are contradictory. Because the Vedas are the standard of knowledge, even though they may appear contradictory, they should be accepted. If one does not accept them, he will be bound by the material conditions. The material conditions are described in this verse as guna pravaha, the flowing of the three modes of material nature. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung in a song, Michi Mayara Boshi Jacho Beshi Kachuha Budu Buba, Michi Mayara Boshi Jacho Beshi Kabuha Budu Buba, Michi Mayara Boshi, Michi Mayara Boshi, Michi Mayara Boshi Jacho Beshi Kachuha Budu. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Radha Krishna Bol Bol. You know that song, Radha Krishna Bol Bol. I like that, the Bengali tunes. Nowadays the kirtans, they don't just do those many old things. The Gaudiya Mats, I like the Gaudiya Mats. They always do these, stick these old traditional tunes. Now in ISKCON we get a little bit mushy, I think, some of them. But that, these are good old Bengali tunes, are really good. Why are you suffering? Why are you sometimes being drowned in the waves of material nature and sometimes coming to the surface? Jiva Krishna Das Sevishwas Korlito Varadukanai. More. Please, therefore, accept yourself as a servant of Krishna, then you'll be freed from all miseries. As soon as one surrenders to Krishna and accepts the perfect standard of knowledge, which is Bhagavad Gita as it is, then he comes out of material modes of nature, and he does not fall down and lose his knowledge. Nasta Pragya. The word pragya means perfect knowledge, and nasta pragya means one who has no perfect knowledge. One who does not have perfect knowledge has only mental speculation. By such mental speculation, one falls down and down into hellish condition of life. By transgressing the laws laid down in the shastras, one cannot become pure in heart. When the heart is not purified, one acts according to the three modes of material nature. These activities are very nicely explained in verses 1 through 6 of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita also explains Triguna Vishaya Veda, Nice Trigun Bhavajun. Nirvango Nityasattvashto Niryoga Shemi Atmavam. The Vedas mainly deal with the object of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. The entire world in all material knowledge, the entire world and all material knowledge is within the three modes of material nature. One has to transcend these modes to attain the platform of transcendence. One must follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become perfect in this life. Otherwise, one will be knocked down by the waves of the material nature stream modes. This is further explained in the words of Prahlad Maharaj in Bhagavatam, Matir na krishni parata shvatova mito bipit yeta griha pratanam adanta gobi vishatam tamishram puna punas chapita shavananam. Materialistic persons are too much engaged in material enjoyment and don't know anything beyond their material experiences, are carried away by the whims of material nature. They live a life characterized by chewing the chewed, and they are controlled by their uncontrolled senses, and thus they go down to the darkest regions of hellish life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, by association with the sadhu, then we can actually transcend above these material modes of nature. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki Jindayo Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Any comment? Question? Yes?
How does one judge his own progress and on a day-to-day basis, like what can he test himself against to see if he's actually making progress or if he's standing still?
Oh, it doesn't have to be on the day-to-day process. Otherwise, we may end up gyanis, analyzing ourselves every day. Our process is devotional service. Absorption in devotional service. All the qualities will and advancement will be attained by that. Specifically chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says in the third canto, the process of creation, that sound is the beginning of creation. All objects of sense gratification are manufactured from the subtle form of sound. So that same sound, when spiritualized, that can create all of your spiritual necessities. So that chanting of Hare Krishna is a purified sound. So that will create all of the things you need to go back home, back to Godhead. Whereas a material sound creates all the objects you need to enjoy the material world, to live in the material world. So the holy name is the greatest thing. So it's not that every day we have to analyze and become to end up Shankhya yogis or something like that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur does recommend, like on a codicil, you can give a little time to think how much attention you're giving to different attachments, how much time you're giving to spiritual life. So have a look at the balance. And then try to reduce the material attachments you're giving attention to. But he said maybe once in a codicil or something like that. Hi, Krishna.
In the third verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, a person who is a non-devotee has no good qualifications because he acts on the mental platform. One who acts on the mental platform has to change his standard of knowledge periodically. We consequently see that one philosopher may disagree with another philosopher, and one scientist may put forward a theory contradicting the theory of another scientist. All of this is due to their working on the mental platform without a standard of knowledge. So we hear that Srila Prabhupada is writing these books especially for us. So he is talking like this. And although one may be trying to really catch up this knowledge or this practice of Krishna consciousness, still one seems never to be taking it, really, no? So Well, I guess you have answered. But how this applies to us? How is this verse really applying to us?
How's it applying to us? Well, when we read this book, Prabhupada's books, then we become convinced. And then when we're convinced, then we take it seriously. So we take the next step, we get initiation. And then we have so many rules in our initiation vows. And we know what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. So we get our standard. Prabhupada set our standard. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the standard. And Prabhupada is presenting it, the standard that we should be following as the founder of Acharya. Because different acharyas may have different standards, but because we're following Prabhupada, he's the founder of Acharya Viscom, and he sets the standard. So we know what that standard is, more or less. So the idea is we change our standard. That's the idea. We take initiation. Surrender means I'm going to accept your standard. I'm going to throw out all that junk I had in my head before, because it did nothing but get me into trouble. Now I'm convinced of Krishna conscious philosophy. If I follow the standard, like Rupa Goswami's descended from the spiritual world to give us this process, Prabhupada's also. So then when we accept, when we become serious about changing our standard of knowledge, then yeah, we'll accept the Guru. And then we'll apply the process of Krishna consciousness according to the Acharya. That becomes our standard. And we just forget the other standard. We just kind of throw everything out. It's all junk. Everything we knew before was actually useless. So the founder Acharya becomes our standard of knowledge. And when we find we're not coming up to his standard, we should understand that we're slipping down. Is that okay? Okay.